Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Sir Jonathan Davis of Corn. Brown batticom bum bum ba, brown batticom bum bum ba, brown batticom bum bum ba.
Hey there, guys. And
we
guys.
Were live. Oh.
You know what? If I didn't hear the dog bark, I don't think I would have believed it was him.
Oh, but that's definitely.
But hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to an Asteroid Factory podcast where our nerd knowledge is on point. We are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And Three Toes of Fury.
Today we're talking about villains.
The bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best.
The best.
The reason we go to the movies.
Yeah.
Villainous.
Yeah, but first, we need to get to our Asteroid Picks of the Week.
Yeah, boy!
Who's going first? One of you guys goes first.
I got one. I'm ready.
Hit it!
Okay.
All right.
James, what?
Who's going to...
Three Toes, you intro him.
Yes, definitely.
Who's going to lube me up?
Here is not Chewy. Go get him, Doom.
This stuff writes itself.
I know, right?
Cool. So my Asteroid Pick of the Week is a new game... the 30th it came out. It's a new one, Switch exclusive. Mm. It's called Astral Chain. And it is blowing up everywhere. It is, so, I don't know. I'm going to tell the story. So, Thursday, I'm like, you know what? This game's getting a really good buzz. I want to pick it up. I'm going to trade in some old games at GameStop. So, this is going to be a downer for GameStop and an upper for Astral Chain.
Isn't it always a downer for GameStop?
It is. No. And it's funny, I found out their stock is worth like $4 a share. So
nice.
Fuckers.
Is it a bad thing or a good thing?
It's a bad thing.
What was it worth before? More?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was in like.
Are you saying their stock dropped because of your sale?
You're goddamn right it did.
Yeah.
That's one of those brick and mortar stores that is destined to.
It's been going out of business for
a while. Yeah, I mean.
But people buy physical games.
Not anymore.
Oh. Look, Xbox just released a discless machine. Yeah. I'm sure in the next generation, they will all have discless
I'm pretty sure
SKUs.
The PS5 is already, fairly certain it's going to be.
I felt like they said it would be backwards compatible with 4.
They always say that.
Yeah.
I do love you, PlayStation, but you guys are liars.
Mm.
So, yeah, I went out, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go buy this game. And I go to GameStop, and they're like, yeah, we don't have any copies available.
What?
They're all pre-ordered. I was like, wait a minute. Wait, your pre-order is for 48 hours. The game came out 6 fucking days ago. What do you mean your games are on pre-order still? They're like, yeah, sorry. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've lost games to that system. Like, you have 48 hours after the game's released, if you pre-order it, to go pick it up. If not, it gets released to the general public.
Right.
I called around. There is, like, no GameStop in the greater Chicagoland area, like, outside of Crystal Lake that had a copy of this game. So.
Do you know why?
It's that popular. It's a real sleeper hit. Platinum Games they've made some great shit and people were excited about it, but I think it even kind of surpassed like everyone's expectations.
Wow.
It's an awesome game. You are it's very
How'd
Japanese.
You get it?
I did end up getting it at GameStop.
Okay.
Finally found one around here 3 days later and they're like, yeah, we have a gut copy, which if you ever go in and you see like the box on the shelf.
Yeah.
There's no game inside because people would steal the game. So that's a gut copy. So they have the real game like locked up and they're like, we have that if you want it. I'm like, yeah, I just want to play this game. Like,
so do you get the box?
You do get the box.
Oh, but it's just been open. Okay.
So yeah, I had traded all this game, credit in, so I got the game, brought it home. It's a very Japanese like anime style game, which I love. I am like balls deep in the anime pool. And the premise of the game is you're a twin and you are fighting these aliens, and the only way to fight them is to, like, link up with one of the converted ones, and you're linked by a, guess what? Astral Chain.
Oh. Oh,
come on, man. The name of the game.
I'd say Tentacle.
You would.
Maybe your anime differs from mine.
It is visually stunning. The gameplay is fun. It's fast-paced. It's a beautiful game. Spoiler alert, I did just post on Instagram that it may or may not be a Asteroid Pick of the Week.
Okay.
Spoiler nice. Alert, it is.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. It's an A++. I mean, wow. I cannot stress. I wish, like, for people who don't have a Switch, I feel bad for them. That's how good
well, I can the get game up for the PS4.
Should this be...
No?
No.
Should this be my first AAA title pick up for the
Switch? I would suggest it. I mean, if you like action games, and it's just... It has everything. I mean...
I hate gaming.
Well...
You can get it in Crystal Lake.
Step one, enjoy gaming. Step two... Yeah. No, I would suggest cool. it. I mean, balls awesome. To the wall fun.
So Astral Chain.
Astral
how far,
Chain.
How far are you in it?
Fuck GameStop. And sorry, I was possible angry. Sponsor. Yeah.
That's the crowd supporting you with the fuck GameStop.
Thank you, guys.
I cut him off.
But yeah. Chris, I would like to point out that that particular GameStop got you to buy a used game at full price by telling you it was a
gut copy.
Gut copy. Yeah,
I know.
That's a great way to sell
it. I don't
want to
talk about it. Three toes.
Just give me the sound box. All right. Nice. One last question. Was there a buzz before? Because it feels like it was off
your radar.
There
was a little bit of a buzz.
But it wasn't like everybody was like freaking out.
I think that the hurdle that they face is that these are Switch exclusive games. You know, I mean, Ultimate Alliance didn't have that much of an issue because it's Marvel and they're still like King of the Mountain, but it's great.
Awesome.
Cool.
Cool.
Chewy.
No, let's give this one to Three Toes.
Got it.
And I'll do it. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Find something to bite down on because Three Toes is behind you, right about to give you his pick of the week.
When you say find something to bite down on, I was like, is my pick going to cause somebody to have seizures? Because that is awesome. Blink, 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 flash, 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 flash.
We're He's talking again. About the unwanted anal pressure.
Yeah, that's what we ended up at. Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So my pick of the
week
is...
All anal pressure gets a rim shot.
Mine is anal. Who knew? No, mine is... I hate to do this. I made a solemn promise to myself that I would never repeat myself, and there's no reason for it because we are in a wealth of picks of the week, but... I'm coming back with something that I referenced before, only
Tool.
Because...
It's
look
Tool.
At that! How did you know? How did you know? All right, so here's the deal. When we last left off, I had heard just the title track that had dropped. But since then, the album dropped on August 30th.
Okay.
The first album in 13 years. And I have played this album on loop in the first 4 days, 12 times, probably more. Never have done that before. Because no matter what, you like a band, you like a new album. But to have this just constantly looping any chance I could listen to music.
Oh, yeah.
It is, wow, it's so good once you kind of get into it. Every song, and I won't go into too long, but I broke a code. I literally broke a code, which I think I'm the first person in the world to do. I was trying to think of how I was going to describe it. And I was like, well, just like the title track, every song is like 500 minutes long, and it's real slow.
Hooray!
It's real slow for 490 minutes of that 500 minutes. But then the last 10 minutes, it like spikes up. And so the first three songs, I was like, oh, there's a pattern. There's literally a pattern to how this sounds, where it's like,
of course,
it's
there's
mellow,
a pattern.
It's going because they are ahead of us and they're smarter than us and they are.
So when the aliens come down, we can just give them the album and they'll, you know what we're talking about.
They are a living M.C. Escher painting. They are cutting in on themselves and the dragons eat his tail.
Instead of a normal band that, like, when they're writing a song, they conference with each other and say, hey, where should we go with the song? Let's do what feels good. They let like math do it, which always feels amazing.
I think they do. Yeah. I've been listening to some Maynard interviews recently, and he kind of, the way he riffs about the band is, they don't sound like they're all really on the best of terms. And they do just kind of like phone it in. Sorry, we're going to do a 764th time on this song, which I don't know.
Kind of sounds like a band that their frontman plays most shows behind a curtain.
Yeah, it does.
But he's
you know, somebody should call him up and tell him he should do that.
That's a great idea. So, all right, the last thing on the code was, as I was going to describe each song, like, you know, it's slow, 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 then build, slow, 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 then build. But the album itself, it's only, I'm speaking of the CD version of the album, 7 tracks, doesn't have the filler tracks.
Because it's all they could fit.
Literally. The digital is, I have to download it, is longer. But the album, breaking the code, is the exact same model. So every song for the first 6 songs is kind of a mellowish song.
Okay.
But then the last song is this fucking angst song, Tempest. And so, fuck, it's good. So if you have, the way I've described this to friends, if you have a non-adversarial relationship with Tool, check
all
it
right,
out.
Let's, come on. Geez. Adversarial?
That's it. If anybody
I'm
out
not
there,
smart enough to get that shit.
That's what I'm saying. That
don't use that word with us. We don't know what it means.
It means, it ties in with today's the villainous. It just means if you don't flat out just hate the band, listen to this album. It is crisp.
For the record, I did know what it meant.
Lyrics. I know you do. I had some lyrics that I was going to quote.
I've heard some really mixed reviews on it. I've heard people saying it's like the most amazing thing they've ever heard. And I've heard even like huge Tool fans say that like it's their worst album. So it's,
they're
so,
all
it's
right.
Very strange. Yeah.
Everybody's right. There's a guy who does. Do you guys know Anthony Fantano?
I just watched his video last night.
So Anthony Fantano, his channel is amazing.
I love his channel.
He is by far, like in my mind, the number one music critic out there just for the wealth of stuff he listens to. And his opinions are very, like, thought out and detailed. The guy is just, he's an encyclopedia. Oh, yeah. He loves Tool. Everybody's waiting for his review. He shit the bed on this one. Yeah. He gave it a 4, which is on a 10-point scale.
Oh, I was going to say 4 out of 5. Not bad.
Nope. He said this is their worst album. And he's not wrong in terms of it is simple. It's a very simple album. It's a very Tool-sounding album. But if you connect with it, it's great.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's so good, it's bad, and the only way out is in. And Tool is the best, worst band in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yes.
Fist bump.
Yeah. That's a side pick of the week. Anthony Fantano. Have you listened or have you watched this stuff on YouTube?
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, so Anthony Fantano is a YouTube personality. He puts out album review after album review after album review, and his style of quick cutting and, which is pretty much all of YouTube, but his style of quick cutting and reviewing albums and his encyclopedic knowledge, like you said, of everything is just amazing. And I've like for hours watched reviews on albums I've never listened to, just put his stuff on.
He's great. And you know, the greatest thing is he doesn't play a single note of any song from any album. Like he just talks about it. And that's
smart.
A hard thing to do.
He's real smart. Because you don't know who are blockers on YouTube anymore.
And he's hypercritical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wrong about Tool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Fucking idiot. But he just doesn't get the math. Yeah. Because imagine that the song builds, build, and it explodes. I wish I had those lyrics. I guess I'm going to have to wait till next time to quote some lyrics to you guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I don't own a gun. Because
I got one. You're
just saying, like, I would probably use the new Tool album as skeet practice.
Oh,
I can't. I don't know. I haven't listened to more than 20 minutes of it. So
okay, didn't it take down what's her name's album?
Taylor
Swift. Yeah, Taylor Swift's album.
There was some numbers thing where they said it might. All right, if you're going to listen to it, or if you want a couple tracks to check out, track out check 3 and track 7. 7's Tempest, and 3 is.
So make sure you block out like 2 days.
Yes.
To listen to those two tracks.
3 is Invincible. So cool. Good.
Yeah.
Rooster Kills Australian Actor.
Okay, so, making a note. So Tool, Fear, In Nauseam.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay, cool.
Son of a bitch. Dude, we're going to get like a stump. We're going to get like a hand sent to us. And it's going to be Clive Major, James Keenan. Tool album. Like, oh.
No, that's going to be their next CD out cover. A Living Hand.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Do you drink wine?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think I have your Christmas gift then.
Yeah. Shit. All right, one more thing, because I was listening to an interview with him. So I didn't know that Maynard had a vineyard. Yeah. So in the interview,
Maynard has a vineyard.
Is it Maynard's
vineyard? It's the name of his new EP.
The name of his vineyard?
I have no idea.
Oh. It's something very Tool.
So easy.
Like every single bottle of wine is something that's named something very
Enema Tool. And weird.
Like crystal aneurysm.
Yeah. Yes. he was talking about his vineyard, and he says that he was on Rogan. And Rogan's like, I heard you hire falconers. He's like, I do. And they bring in falcons and hawks to hunt the birds that eat his grapes. And so what he does is he has somebody come in.
You guys are fucking.
Is this like the most Tool thing in the world? So he brings the birds in. And the way he described it was, have you ever seen, you must have, a Major League Baseball player hit a ball that is so hard that it just happens to time it where a bird is flying across.
Oh, yeah,
and the bird explodes. Yeah. Like it's one of the most surreal things you'll ever see. He describes that the falcons that attack these little birds trying to go after his grapes is the same thing. They hit him so fast that they pretty much just explode. I mean, that's
metal.
Yeah. Expensive Merlot. Cabernet Sauvignon.
This Cabernet tastes like mouse blood.
I got a beak in mine.
They don't even wash it off, man. No. Just keep it metal.
Yeah.
It's fucking Tool.
Check out the new Malbec that he's releasing called Prison Sex. Sweet and delicious after a red meat meal.
I almost spit take. Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay, all right.
So who's going to kick me off? Here we go.
Not Three Toes?
That's your pick of the week? Jesus. Yeah, thank you.
I've got a theme going on. So my pick, and this could be going into our theme of the week of villains and baddies, is the movie Brightburn. Mm. I watched it a couple weeks ago. I just haven't had a chance to talk about it on this podcast. Have either of you seen it?
No.
Okay, so there will be no spoilers, but I will tell you the whole plot and then give you the ending.
Superman's evil. Yeah. Got it.
So I think everyone knows that the movie is pretty much a mere reflection of the Superman story, and it kind of is. It is an amazing, little story about a boy who lands on Earth, or an alien boy that lands on Earth, and instead of being the beacon of hope, he's the beacon of death and destruction. And it was really good.
I want to see it.
I want to give it like a triple A, but I'm going to give it an A just because I don't want to really pump it up too much. You really have to go into it knowing that you're seeing a not a low budget horror movie, but you are seeing a moderate budget horror movie.
It is R.
Thank
hard God. R.
It's very hard R with the gore and the gags that they use. There are moments during the movie where I watched it by myself, and there are moments in the movie where I like jumped from how jarring what I just watched was. Mm-hmm. It's very strange to watch a child do what the child does in this movie.
Fuck.
It kind of reminded me of stuff like The Omen and stuff in that regard. Yeah. However, it makes a much better double feature with something like Slither. And I do want to give a shout out to one of my really good friends who's not at this table. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
From back in the day, I believe his Instagram hashtag is @ Bubba Roosh. Back in the day, he introduced me to a lot of off-brand horror. Mm-hmm. I watched The Reanimator with him. I watched Castle Freak with him. I watched some really weird stuff with him. He was the one who took me to go see From Dusk Till Dawn when I didn't want to go see it.
Nice.
Everybody
be cool. You be cool.
Yeah. And sometime just recently, and by just recently, I mean it could have been within the past 10 years, he texted me and said, you need to watch Slither.
Yep.
If you haven't seen it. I'm like, I haven't seen it. So I watched it and was blown away by it. It's very much like
Is Nathan Fillion in that?
Yes, he is.
Right? Okay. I never have. I know.
I know we talked about it early on because of the James Gunn factor, which is it's another one of those like bonkers thing that MCU hired the guy who made Slither. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Slither is one of those movies where the movie cover doesn't tell you what the movie's going to be. The synopsis doesn't tell you what the movie's going to be. The movie is something super strange. It's kind of, there's like Reanimator thrown in there. There's The Thing thrown in there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird shit in that movie. This would make a really good double feature with that. And if you're a fan of that movie, see Brightburn.
I can't see it fast enough. If you're tying it into
it's
that
a great
world,
movie.
And it's really it Gunn produced it, so that's part of it. But that's great to hear.
I'm going to compare it, and this is the only little spoiler I'll give, and I know you guys will be okay with it, is that I'm going to compare it with something like the M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong superhero universe that he's trying to build. Do you remember at the end of... So he didn't do it for Unbreakable. Unbreakable was a pretty solid standalone movie, but then at the end of the one that came before that,
the Multiple Man one,
Twisted Multiple Man.
That was the one where he dropped in, they're tying it into it.
What is the name of it?
Woman Walks in the Water with Signs.
Split.
That's
Split.
It.
So Split. At the end of Split, he does that classic thing that M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong always does,
racist.
Where he. It's not racist. I just don't know his name. He does that thing
where they all look the same to you.
Where he tacks on. I shouldn't have used that soundbite. He does this thing where like he needs to throw some twist at the end of it,
right?
And some twist that will either alienate his audience or pull his audience in. And for some reason, I always think like 75% always get alienated.
Yep,
that's because I'm always part of that crew. He does that thing where like he throws in a twist that opens up the possibility of a universe.
Is the twist that the trees are the enemy?
It pissed me off at the end of Split that he did that.
Yep.
Because I knew it was coming. I think we all knew it was coming, but it pissed me off. At the end of Brightburn, they do something very similar, but it made me so effing excited to see where they
did
could
like... Did
you just
censor yourself?
I did.
Come on. It's a family show.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the one singing Lion King for like 6 hours in the last episode.
Hey, take it easy.
We said dick like 65 times in the last episode.
That is true.
It's digital dick. It's not the same.
Sometimes it was inappropriate.
But I was so fucking excited.
I'm leaving this year. You guys are casting without me alone. They kind of
blow it out into something that could be something. I'm not sure if they'll do it. I'm not sure how Brightburn performed. I didn't really look it up. However, if they do go with a... So if you could imagine... Yeah, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. You have to see the movie. They do blow it out at the end with... It's not a twist. It's just a...
Is it they introduce another kid and his name is Bruce Wayner and he's also evil?
Yes.
You see what I did there with those evil Superman, then evil Batman. Bruce and then they could fight each other.
Huh? Yeah. Zack Snyder could direct it. Oh, yeah. Little kid versions of Superman and Batman fighting each other.
In the dark universe he wanted to create all along.
There it is.
So perfect.
DC is back on the map, baby. Woo! In your face, Kevin Feige.
Yeah. It's kind of how they just hired a Ham Talland to play.
that was pretty great.
What are they calling it?
With a mustache or whatever like that.
A monkey spider?
Spider monkey?
Spider monkey. Ham Talland's going to play Spider monkey in the MCU in Phase 6.
Did you see the Boss Logic poster of Tom Holland as Plastico, the like stepson of Magneto?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I'd watch it.
That is rich.
Yeah. I like the Tom Holland, he's a good actor.
Yeah, so that's my pick of the week.
I love
week.
It. Hey, so on the Tom Holland thing, and we've talked about it before, but I just need to know. So does the fact that Sony has separated from Marvel mean he...
For now.
Where does he go? Can he go and just do more Spider-Man movies with Sony? I assume yes. I don't think he has allegiance to Marvel.
Tom Holland? No, Tom Holland is with Sony. He signed with Sony.
Because he already did anyway, because he was going to be making... Oh, he's going to do the Uncharted movie, which kept losing directors.
Yeah, yeah. Lost like its 16th director.
I think of that Trank guy.
So
why don't they just stop trying to make those movies?
Dude, it's so primed to be a good movie. I mean, it's basically the next step in a Raiders meets Mummy kind of universe type of
thing. Yeah, it really is. It's a good combo.
Great.
Yeah.
Just hire Nathan Fillion. He did the great fucking fan film, which was phenomenal.
But he's like 50 now, man.
Yeah, but he's still cool.
I was actually super on board for Uncharted movie because they said it was going to be Tom Holland and
Bryan Cranston.
Oh. And Bryan Cranston will be playing a character that Doom and I like love. Like it's like the best character in the whole game.
He is phenomenal.
Nice. Oh, he played the mentor, the old crotchety guy.
Yeah. Charlie.
Who is great in the fan film. All right, nice pick.
Cool. Well, I think we need to get into our topic of the week, so let's get there.
Have you gotten any cease and desist letters yet?
16.
Oh. Well, until we crack the triple digits, fuck Michael Bay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so I'm finding the phrasing.
I don't think he needs money.
How could he need money? Did you guys not see the new trailer for Bad Boys for Life?
Oh, is that true? I heard that drop this week.
Yeah, it did.
Wait, there's a trailer?
Yeah, it did.
And is it star both of the guys?
Martin Lawrence does not look the best.
How does he look?
All right, that's just rude. I mean, he didn't look that bad.
How does he look?
He looks bad.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean.
Like he's like a little weathered, maybe.
Yeah. Is he droopy? Like, is he drooping?
As in the dog?
No.
Because that's the way.
That makes me mad. That was a pretty good droopy.
It was good.
Bad, right? He just, it looks like he hasn't been keeping up on himself.
That's what, like, come on, man.
No, but it sounds to me like he's just been living life hard. So you're thinking he did a lot of drugs, hypothetically, allegedly?
Maybe.
Mm. Is there a preview or is it just...
It's like a 2.5-minute trailer. It just looks... Dumb? It looks like it could be okay. It's just, I don't know, like the first Bad Boys was... Love that movie.
Actually, 2 wasn't bad either,
2
right?
Wasn't bad.
I haven't rewatched.
I love 2.
I thought 2 actually did pretty well.
That like really jarring, surprising gore.
I was going to say it was over the top.
I don't remember.
I've only seen it once.
Head gets run over.
So much the second. Yeah.
I think I got to rewatch those movies. All right.
No, you don't.
The first one.
It's not worth it. Watch Brightburn.
What was her name? Shit. Tia Leone?
Yeah.
I might have been a boy that became a man that day.
Wait, she's cute.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah, hold on a second. You need to say.
Do it.
You need to say that name again. Say it again.
Tell me.
I love the fact that
I feel like it's midnight
at the right time.
It feels very Roger Rabbit, that sound. I feel like
get off on cartoons. You're the one talking about tentacles and Roger Rabbit and Lola Bunny.
Do you see me denying any of this?
No. Actually, I was the one who threw in Lola Bunny.
And I'm going to walk into it. Hey, when Bugs Bunny ever dressed up like a girl, did you think he was attractive?
No.
Me neither. Swing.
Okay, let's get into the topic. Do you want to run down what the topic
is? Yes, the topic of the week is Big Bads. This week, we're going to name a few of our all-time favorite villainous performances. So this doesn't necessarily have to be best bad guy, because that might be something different, or best villainous performances. Think about that as you guys get into your answers, which are going to suck.
I think this is a good topic getting into the Halloween season, because we have a lot of movies coming out that I think may fall into this category, a la Joker. I don't know why I said that with a French
accent.
People
are liking it.
Yeah, you douche.
And actually, is Halloween's coming up.
I feel like, no, not racist.
We'll have to do a lot of horror stuff around Halloween time.
Well,
because I like to.
I mean,
well, we might get into it in this cast right now, talking about the baddies.
I didn't even think of but all right.
Who's going first?
Oh, man. I got a bunch.
Just lay one on the table. Nice and up. I'm talking about characters, not...
My Johnson?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about a deuce? I mean, because I've been holding...
God, yeah, that's right. There's no toilet paper in this particular...
There's not!
We'll be all right.
Okay. No, I feel like the first one that comes to mind is...
Don't steal mine.
I'm counting on crossover. There's so no way. We have to say it. If it's on our list, we got to say it, all right?
There's no way. Heath Ledger and the Joker.
Oh, that's my first one as well.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's just not. I mean, I know superhero shit, you know. I'm sure everyone who knows me was assuming that I was going to pick a super villain.
But his performance was so weak.
Oh, just suck a cock. So... I mean that in the most.
I don't know if I've ever told you to eat a bag of dicks, but man, if I haven't,
dude, that's a line from Run the Jewel song.
So why is he
kind of?
Why does he bubble up to the top for you?
There's no, truly, I don't know if there's a movie out there that if you took out the bad guy or even changed the bad guy
or recast the bad guy,
yeah, that. Would have such an impact as if you took Heath Ledger out of that film. Like,
yes,
he was the Dark Knight. I mean,
yes.
Yes. I would say 90%. Like Christian Bale was all right as Batman.
Can I be honest? He's good at Batman, but he never really, it was a very,
the drug's going.
it was always a very like, and this is probably what he was going for, but like he never incited emotion.
No.
He never pulled emotion out of a viewer of those movies. He was just like a good straight man almost for the villains, which I guess is what Batman needs to be.
No,
damn it.
Yeah, but I just it is.
You made your
proved
point.
Myself right and wrong at the same time.
No. He was an okay Batman. I mean,
yeah,
he wasn't
Val
he
wasn't Kilmer.
Brooding quite. Fuck you, man. I liked Val Kilmer.
I love Val Kilmer.
Given time, sexy. We may look back upon him and say. Yeah,
he
sure.
was okay. It was his, like, the first movie was great because of
Ra's al Ghul,
the villain. Third one was, I love Tom Hardy. And
what's wrong with my performance? do you see the beast?
That's nice. I suddenly can't think of a fucking Bane quote.
It was funny. I saw somebody sent me an Instagram post of a French bulldog George. With like a mask, and it was the Bane quote. I saw that. Yeah. I was dying. The darkness.
I was born in it.
That's better. I figured I'd find it. Those are valid. But here's the deal with the Joker for me, for his performance, because it is villainous performance, and it's hard to cross over the fact that I think he's one of the best villains of all time. The reason I think he's one of the best villains is because if you look at how he approaches that character in that movie, how he's constantly not giving you think he's giving you his backstory, but he's not. He's fucking with you, the viewer, and every person he talks to. And the scene in the interrogation room, and I rewatch the Joker scenes constantly because I think they're absolutely brilliant. The prologue is like one of my favorite things ever. But the scene where Batman is beating the shit out of it and getting angrier and angrier and losing control, and he as he's hitting him in the face, he's like, "There's absolutely nothing you can do to me." It is the ultimate bad guy where he doesn't care about anything, anybody, and he is constantly challenging people to kill him. There's like four times in that movie where he puts the gun in Harvey Dent's hand, he stands in front of the Batmobile, he's like, just kill me, because he doesn't care about anything, and because of that...
Right. Well, and to your point, that's usually what makes a villain not good for me. So Heath Ledger manages to be that villain, and I still love him.
Oh.
My favorite kind of villains are the ones that have motives.
Yes.
You know, like, are you almost like... I kind of agree with the villain. Like,
like a Black Panther?
Yeah. Well,
no, there was a really good Thanos.
Like, there, I mean,
Thanos has points.
You know, he has points. The Joker was a dick. And, like, my favorite line of the whole movie from him is, you know, everything burns. Like, he was there to just fuck stuff up.
Yeah.
And he pulled it off. And I loved him for it.
He did. And the other thing with him is that on top of this kind of like you don't know anything about what's going on in his head, et cetera, is he is, in my mind, mentally smarter than anybody, everyone. Anybody's ever. And he's smarter than Batman. There's no doubt about it. There's a point in the movie where he says to him, he's like, you're not like them. You want to be, but you're not. And at the first chance, they're going to turn on you when they have that opportunity. And that's how the movie ends. I mean, fucking the writing in that movie is so brilliant. So he knows pretty much everything. The only thing he was wrong about, which he would be right about, was the whole boat blowing up business. But he's so intelligent. He's a great character. So,
But how did he get those scars?
Ask me how I got these scars. My father was a drinker.
The boat scene is actually, I think, what pushes that character in that movie over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him like a despicable, crazy.
Oh, it's awesome.
Douchebag.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think Batman ever called him that, did he?
Douchebag. It was in the extended cut.
Douchebag.
I've got one rule.
Well, you're going to have to break it.
I think I sounded more like Bernthal in The Punisher.
Yeah. Is that Jonathan Davis?
Or is that Jonathan Davis?
Is John Barenthal Jonathan Davis? We're all
doing
it now.
You guys have the disease I have. Yeah. The Disturbed disease, where everybody you want to do an impression of ends up being the guy from Disturbed, but we can't get it out right. See, I can't.
Someone needs to cut Bernthal into a Disturbed song.
No, man. Let that man be. Dude, is he barking or is he a monkey? What is happening?
I'm just saying that impression is on. Anytime I'm down or depressed, I'm going to call you back. Could you give me a little Bernthal? And it's going to be like work. So you're going to have to do that over the cube wall.
I could see somebody like, what the fuck? Did you just call like a zoo? What's happening?
I really hope I didn't make this whole podcast clip.
God, I hope Bernthal calls our voicemail once in a while.
Oh,
that is not a request.
I have a command. Okay, cool.
Okay. What do you got? Give us some bad guys. Villainous performances.
Me and Doom talked about this, and you'll hear this soon in the podcast that's going, that just dropped, the last kind of like Condoleezza Rice.
Today, Junior.
Your villainous Condoleezza Rice. All right, we'll go political.
Spit that shit out, man.
We talked about this in the candlelight conversation with Max. And I'm going with Jason Isaacs from The Patriot.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen The Patriot?
Pause for editing.
Wait, that's Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
I've never seen The Patriot.
And I fucking love...
You've never seen The Patriot.
I own it.
Look, man, if there was anything that could have made you deader in my eyes than not seeing any of the Golden Girl episodes is the fact that you've never seen The fucking Patriot.
I'm excited. Because I love...
That's our audience booing you.
Dude, you know, do you have like a nut punch sound? Because I want it to be mimicked when I punch three toes in the... There it is.
They'll never take our freedom! I love that movie. And Patriot was like after that, right? Like it was the next movie.
Straight up. I think The Patriot is the greatest Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah. Fuck have my... You,
okay.
What?
Okay, so I'll paint a little bit of a picture. The Patriot is one of Mel Gibson's best movies.
Okay.
There are scenes in that movie that... fill you with rage.
Yes.
And fill you with like unfathomable hope. Like it's a really crazy movie. And that's one of Heath Ledger's best roles.
He's in it?
Next to, he's Mel Gibson's
oldest son.
Oof. Yeah. And there's, there's so many scenes
where
that are amazing.
So sad.
I mean, I'm not even going to comment on how good Mel Gibson is or how good Heath Ledger is, but Jason Isaacs.
One of the best villains on screen.
You absolutely hate him in that movie.
I can't place the actor.
Lucius Malfoy?
Dead, to the point where there's a climactic scene at the end where you are so pumped up to find out what happens that you almost literally explode.
Oh, I am watching
what
this
else?
Movie.
I mean, he was...
He's the dad? He's Malfoy's dad?
Yes.
Oh, that's the only thing I know him from.
And he's not bad in those movies, but yeah, to Chewie's point. Like
perfect casting.
There are very few times where... I mean, maybe even more so. Like, I don't know if I ever wanted to reach in the screen and beat the shit out of the Joker, but, like, yeah, there was times I'm like, this guy needs to fucking die. Like, yeah, you couldn't wait for the moment where he got what was coming to him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I had a whole bunch of other guys on my list that I was going to list off, but, like...
Was
like,
he the
like
one...
Biff from Back to the Future. Sorry.
<Yeah. laughs>
Car full of manure.
Yeah.
Butthead.
Who else? One of my all-time favorite villains...
If you take mine, I'm going to punch you right in the thigh.
Simon? Well, he went by Simon, but...
Simon Says?
Yes.
In
Die Hard 3?
Really? Because Gruber's on my list in Die Hard 1, so he's his brother.
I thought he was better than Gruber. I did. Like,
well, yeah, your brother was a real prick.
He was. He was Gruber. A real prick. It's true. He was.
But yeah, to me, I liked him better. I liked him.
He's
more.
Awesome.
Like he had more of that revenge motive, and I liked it better. And I loved the Simon Says game.
Oh, it's
and
awesome.
I loved. I won't lie to you.
I think you believed him more than you believed Hans Gruber.
You can see one dangerous territory. Well,
kind of liked Die Hard 3 better than the first one.
That is not a true statement. Die Hard 3 is a wonderful movie, but that's not a true statement.
But Samuel L. Jackson
is great.
Him and Bruce Willis together, did you ever play a perfect buddy cop film.
Did you ever play the video game they had for Die Hard 3 where, and I do this to this day, so a little story. Die Hard 3 in the video game, a lot of it was car chasing. So you had to like get from one part of a city to another part of the city.
And I did play that
and
game.
It was you and Samuel Jackson in the car.
Yes.
Oh.
And you would hear him talking to you, and in order to
turn left, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Shut up. Does he say that in the game?
I'm not sure. There might not be the turn left part. He just says, keep saying motherfucker.
There was nothing that wasn't swearing or vulgarities.
Yeah. Every word in that game is a swear. To get from one part of the city to the other part of the city, one of the strategies you can use is to get behind ambulance. So if an ambulance is going through the city, you can travel behind the ambulance to get through the city faster. To this day, whenever I see an ambulance, a cop car, or a fire engine with its sirens on going in the direction I'm going,
Bruce Willis to jump out the back of that motherfucker.
I want to follow. I want to follow those vehicles to try to get to where I'm going quicker because I played this shitty ass game.
Yes,
back.
It's actually a good system.
I think it works. Thanks for remembering. Because I do not remember playing that game. Yeah,
that's a good pick. I like him. I can't, that was a man who went to St. Ives. He had seven wives. Seven wives with seven sex. Sex, wives, cats, and lives. How many men were going to St. Ives?
Is that from the movie?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
one of the riddles.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a better movie than the first.
He's great, and it's Jeremy Irons. He's a wonderful actor.
I fucking love Jeremy
Irons. He's an amazing actor. And the fact that they found somebody who could go toe-to-toe with who played Gruber? Rickman, Alan Rickman. Because Rickman's Gruber, he was on my list as well.
Not that bad of a villain.
Oh, fuck, he's so good.
Clay. I never felt threatened by him.
Yeah,
Bill Clay.
He was pretty good with that accent, Hans.
I felt more threatened by the guy that
you mean like you did with Takagi,
fucking psycho who like his was his right hand. That's a villain.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Alan Rickman was like kind of a pussy as a villain. Like
no, he's methodical.
No, but like he's like, I don't know. I felt like he was nervous. Like he like showed it. Like he would get caught in his throat. It's like I need like. That one dude was like the psycho. I'm like,
you'll
this
put
dude's
it good for a security guard.
Wrong answer, Hans. Want to try again for double jeopardy? Where really scores can change.
Yeah, the long haired dude. That dude was a fucking psycho.
He was great. He's great. The brother. So all right.
Was was he a brother?
Or not the brother. The he's brother died.
Yes. Oh yes.
Okay, Three Toes. You got to give us one.
All right. So we named already a couple of mine. So Joker. So we had Hans Gruber, had a couple others. So the reason for this category is because I have always had the best answer for this question. So in the back of my mind, I've always had it. There's
bullshit.
No, 100%. When I say this answer, if you've seen this movie, you will agree with me. So this is the only time in my life that I have seen a movie that the performance not only scared me, but it transcended that this was an actor acting that I, to this day, now he's a lot older now.
Oh, I thought you were going to. Well, it could be Madea from Boo.
That's it. Woo! Boo 2. Halloween Electric Boogaloo. This guy's performance is so fucking intense and brutal that I don't believe... I believe I'm scared of the actor. I'm not anymore, but I really was. I was scared of the actor because I believe it wasn't a performance. I believe this guy was straight up bonkers crazy.
And Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs.
Close. I thought about some of the Reservoir Dogs stuff. He was great. Everybody's great in that movie. I really, really like Sean Penn's brother.
Out of the fucking blue!
Why don't you tell me what really happened?
You got that little cross-eyed going. Yeah. Why don't you tell me what really happened? All right. I'm going to give you the name. You're going to tell me if you know what I'm talking about. The character's name is Max Cady.
Wait. C-A-D-D-Y?
I don't know. What do I look like?
I don't know why I tried to spell it. That was so it's
probably wrong.
Stupid.
All right. So what I'm referring to is it's a remake. I think it came out in the 80s, which is Cape Fear, starring
De Niro.
De Niro is Max Cady. That movie, and that's the reason this came up, I turned it on for just a couple seconds, and it's the scene where he is with Ileana Douglas in the bar, and he takes her home, and he brutally attacks, and he is so fucking evil in that movie.
I've never seen Cape Fear.
Holy shit. You have to. I think it's Scorsese? You have to.
Scorsese?
I can bring it in if you want to see it. And if you've never seen the original is really incredible, too, but it is his performance. It's because it's so real. He is this evil, real person who will do anything to get revenge because he feels he's wronged.
Yeah. So this is the remake or the original?
It's a remake.
So there's a remake.
There was originally the 50s or 40s. Katie. Yes.
Okay.
And it's what's her name from? Dust Till Dawn plays the daughter.
Juliette Lewis?
Juliette Lewis plays the younger daughter.
Richie, do me a favor.
Jessica Lange plays the wife. Who's the crazy guy who plays the lawyer? I can't remember his name. 48 Hours.
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte plays the father.
Damn it. How do I do it?
I think it's Scorsese. Anyway, so all right, I will bring it in. You have to see it. His performance is so intense. He's it for me. He's it, hands down.
Have you ever seen it? Can you say Nick Nolte again?
Nick Nolte. Excuse me, I'm going to have to... I mean, maybe at one time, you know.
All right, so that's mine.
Cool. Me?
Who you got, man?
Got more?
Do I have any more?
Yeah.
I do have one more.
Good.
Well, and I think you'll all agree.
Yeah.
Especially Doom.
Oh.
Do you know who I'm going to say?
No.
You might have seen me looking up something on my phone.
I thought I glimpsed, but I need to hear it.
I'm going with Kurtwood Smith from RoboCop.
Oh.
There's no one I wanted to die more than Kurtwood Smith. Actually, there's one other character in the movie I wanted to die more, and that's the...
Which one?
The executive. That gets blasted out the window at the end of the movie.
Snake arms?
Oh! however, Kurtwood Smith just gives such an amazing performance in that movie.
He's great.
That, like, I really didn't... I saw RoboCop a long time ago, but I really didn't see RoboCop as an adult until after watching a lot of that 70s show. So to go back to it and rewatch that...
He's the dad, right?
I can't watch that 70s show
Is that
anymore.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Is that the dad, who just plays like a dick dad? He's great.
Oh, yeah.
But he is the big bad.
Yeah.
And he was so good in it.
So good in that.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I mean, as like an ensemble, like I was... Like the dude, I can't think of it. I mean... None of them are famous now, but like even like when the guys are like running through the streets with like the super guns and they're like blowing up cars, I'm like, man, these are fucking punks, man. They need to go.
Oh yeah,
you know. And even when that guy got melted and run over by the car, it's one of the best days of my life.
Well, you referenced that on a previous cast. So RoboCop was it's not like a favorite movie. If something one of your list is like all time something.
Oh, it's top 10 movies of all time for me.
It was
undoubtedly.
And I remember that because I need to revisit it from that.
Remember that time RoboCop shot that guy in the dick? I'll never forget it.
You have 15 seconds to comply.
There is a release coming out from, I believe, I don't want to say, Scream Factory, I think
they do that's a what lot. They call
them. They're doing a RoboCop release that is like 4 discs long. Oh, it has like the unedited version. It has the
They do really, cut, really good work.
And the box looks amazing.
It'll be really expensive, probably limited edition, but their stuff is top. And they take a lot of more obscure flicks, give them like the great treatment.
Yeah.
And it's physical. It's, yeah. So you got to get that.
1 out of 10. Yeah. One out of 10 boxes is going to shoot you in the dick.
I'll roll those dice.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Oh,
they did an amazing release for UHF where like the transfer is amazing. I mean, like they're never going to have a really good transfer of UHF, but
yeah, I didn't know they did something special with it. That's good.
Yeah.
You get to drink from the fire hose.
Still my favorite
supplies.
Don't. See, like I laugh throughout most of the movie, but when he's like doing the Rambo one, I every
the face.
Still the best.
Hey, the fire hose scene I believe is safe for toddlers, and that's why I've shown my son that.
It feels his good.
Age. Yeah, it's feel good stuff.
Life is a lot like a mop.
Yeah,
but this is mine. It's pretty good. It's a good mop. Yeah. These floors are dirty as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
We have a couple minutes. Does anyone want to throw another couple villains on the table?
I want
at least one more.
I want to get your guys's take on the matter.
I got one.
Family that, matters.
Well, I do. I mean,
never seen Die Hard.
Carl Winslow. Do you think? As fans of Star Wars, you know, Chewie, Three Toes, that Kylo Ren is a better villain than Darth Vader.
No.
Yes.
I like Kylo Ren a lot, but
I think he's a better villain.
Back you up.
I don't know if I think he's a better. Well, I don't know.
Are
if
you guys are.
Is he?
Why?
He's a dynamic character.
Sexier, man.
He does look weird with his shirt off. And I wouldn't tell you if he looked attractive. There's something.
If I was in the room, would I risk touching his nipples? Maybe.
There's too much body.
No,
it's not. I thought
look,
about
you
it
can't
a lot.
Fault
no,
the dude
can I talk
for
about
that?
Him shirtless some more, please?
No. I mean, I really hope.
I mean, it's just, it's I not really, that it's unattractive, but there's,
I just feels hope it like was
there's more Rain, body than there should be.
Rain Johnson, Ryan Johnson.
Do you think maybe they CGI'd his body?
I really hope that was Ryan Johnson. Be like, dude, I want, like, because if that was Adam Driver, like, look, I think this scene would be awesome if I took my shirt off. I really hope that wasn't the case.
Here's one thing that I'll say.
It's
to
like
back
he's
up.
A little chubby. Just a little.
I'm gonna back up Vader, and so Vader wasn't one actor. It was like
David Prowse.
It was David Prowse,
James Earl Jones.
It was the voice.
It was all voice.
Yeah, it was, and it was George Lucas. It was those three people that kind of shaped that character, and that character was able to, like, it's a scary character. Like, you show that to a kid today, and they see that character, and they're scared of that character from just a picture or from just, like, a specific scene, which is a really good example of that is the one from Rogue One. Like, you show that to a kid, they're going to have nightmares. I know that from experience. But Kylo Ren is more of a emoting.
He's a conflicting villain. Like he had, like, you know, like he thought he was good, and then Luke Skywalker tried to fucking kill him. And
he does have a great story. There's no question about it. I mean, I just restarted watching Episode 7 to prep for this for the upcoming flip, which I'm suddenly back on board for. And fuck,
these movies
actually, I hadn't watched them for a while. They are so great on revisit. He is wonderful on revisit.
He's a little bit whiny, but it's like, dude, you know.
He should be.
Yeah. Shit has happened to him.
Yes.
I think Darth Vader would have been a little bit more whiny if he wasn't 90% robot.
Yeah.
And you might be selling me because the backstory of his relationship, like how he became what he became, it's pretty great.
So I mean, Vader was, you know, the fucking Emperor. God, I love him so much.
I hope they bring him back.
I don't think they will. No. The scene
JJ would never go back to the well.
The scene on, and forgive me, I don't know the name of the planet, at the end of The Last Jedi, the lightsaber duel between
him and Luke?
Kylo and Luke
on the
planet.
The salt planet.
On the salt planet where
Red Salt Earth.
Yes.
Where
white salt, red salt. No footprints. He's a ghost.
Where it looks like the ground is just covered in blood.
Mm.
But it's the salt. That scene, what Adam Driver does as that character is like freakishly amazing and scary. Like he becomes a monster in that scene, and
it's awesome.
I will back that movie up. That movie does amazing things that have never been done in any Star Wars movie.
I still love it. Yeah.
I love that movie.
I've never swayed from that one.
Yeah.
Casino scene could have gone, but.
Good point. So when he had his shirt off, did we see his nipples?
God damn it. Yes.
No, I'm being serious. Like, I don't think
yes,
we saw nipples.
Yes, we saw nipples. They were pretty normal size, average location.
I'm going to
Kylo Ren shirt off.
I'm gonna go watch this movie.
I just want everyone to know that Three Toes' side of the table is vibrating right now.
Right. And I'm not touching with my hands.
Whoa.
He means my penis could vibrate a table.
Look closely because he's got that like Mark Wahlberg thing going on where he's got like a third nipple.
Hey man, it's the trees. The trees are talking to me, man. Hey, that's
Mark
right.
Wahlberg has three. You didn't know Mark Wahlberg has a third nipple?
Nipples? What? Does he? Like Scaramanga?
Yeah, he does.
For reals.
Is it like one
when
on
you
top
go home
of another?
Tonight?
I feel like we've talked about
Google
this
shirtless picture of Mark Wahlberg. Not that you weren't gonna do that anyway.
But. There's a thing called the internet there, Chewy. I'm gonna pull it up right now, you bastard.
I dare you. He does. Has it been in a movie before? That'd be kind of cool. It's a trees, bro. Hey, bro. How's it going? That's trees. I got to start working on a Wahlberg. I'll get one.
Yeah.
Bro? Hey, bro.
I mean, it's like a big mole.
Oh, no, that's like a fucking tumor. And that doesn't look like
Let's
Mark Wahlberg
hope
at all.
It's not.
I know.
He's.
Is that like when he was Marky Mark?
Oh. I mean, looking at that picture, I'm kind of feeling it, guys.
Hey, man. Want to buy some of my Wahlburgers? Yeah, that's...
yeah.
And park the if car. You ever, is he from Boston?
If you ever send a picture of just Mark Wahlberg's face like that, looking at the trees,
hey man, the
without
tree.
A heads up,
nice.
Did you hear that noise?
Prime.
You know what that noise means?
Yeah, Optimus
that noise
Prime.
Means
cutting us off.
We gotta see this one out.
All right, thank you all. Thank you to all the guys and gals that listen to this podcast. You can find more information about this episode and other episodes.
Is that Bumblebee?
I'm gonna. Somebody hit him with the transformer.
Hey, Bumblebee, the trees, they're talking to us.
I just turned his mic down.
All right, good. You can find more information about this episode
it's gonna start doing a Mike
and
Tyson.
Other episodes at our website, AstroidFactory.com. There you can leave us a voicemail that we may just play on future episodes of the podcast. Please follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
If you like the show, please tell anyone you can because anything you can do to spread the word helps. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review the show there or any podcatcher of your choice. You might just hear your review on a future episode.
We thank you. And again,
we love you.
Wait.
We love you.
Yeah. Put your ankles in it.
Exactly.